Christian Science commands man to master the propensities, to hold hatred in abeyance with kindness, to conquer lust with chastity, revenge with charity, and to overcome deceit with honesty. Choke these errors in their early stages if you would not cherish an army of conspirators against health, happiness, and success. They will deliver you to the judge, the arbiter of truth against error. The judge will deliver you to justice, and the sentence of the moral law will be executed upon mortal mind and body. Both will be manacled until the last farthing is paid, until you have balanced your account with God. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The good man finally can overcome his fear of sin. This is sin's necessity, to destroy itself. Immortal man demonstrates the government of God good, in which is no power to sin. It were better to be exposed to every plague on earth than to endure the cumulative effects of a guilty conscience. The abiding consciousness of wrongdoing tends to destroy the ability to do right. If sin is not regretted and is not lessening, then it is hastening on to physical and moral doom. You are conquered by the moral penalties you incur and the ills they bring. The pains of sinful sense are less harmful than its pleasures. Belief in material suffering causes mortals to retreat from their error, to flee from body to spirit, and to appeal to divine sources outside of themselves. The Bible contains the recipe for all healing. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Sin and sickness are both healed by the same principle. The tree is typical of man's divine principle, which is equal to every emergency, offering full salvation from sin, sickness, and death. Sin will submit to Christian Science when, in place of modes and forms, the power of God is understood and demonstrated in the healing of mortals, both mind and body. Perfect love casteth out fear. The science of being unveils the errors of sense. And spiritual perception, aided by science, reaches truth. Then error disappears. Sin and sickness will abate and seem less real as we approach the scientific period in which mortal sense is subdued and all that is unlike the true likeness disappears. The moral man has no fear that he will commit a murder, and he should be as fearless on the question of disease. Resist evil, error of every sort, and it will flee from you. Error is opposed to life. We can and ultimately shall so rise as to avail ourselves in every direction of the supremacy of truth over error, life over death, and good over evil. And this growth will go on until we arrive at the fullness of God's idea, and no more fear that we shall be sick and die. Inharmony of any kind involves weakness and suffering, a loss of control over the body. The depraved appetite for alcoholic drinks, tobacco, tea, coffee, opium, is destroyed only by mind's mastery of the body. This normal control is gained through divine strength and understanding. There is no enjoyment in getting drunk, in becoming a fool or an object of loathing, but there is a very sharp remembrance of it, a suffering inconceivably terrible to man's self-respect. Puffing the obnoxious fumes of tobacco or chewing a leaf naturally attractive to no creature except a loathsome worm is at least disgusting. Man's enslavement to the most relentless masters, passion, selfishness, envy, hatred, and revenge, is conquered only by a mighty struggle. Every hour of delay makes the struggle more severe. If man is not victorious over the passions, they crush out happiness, health, and manhood. Here, Christian Science is the sovereign panacea, giving strength to the weakness of mortal mind, strength from the immortal and omnipotent mind, and lifting humanity above itself into purer desires, even into spiritual power and goodwill to man. Let the slave of wrong desire learn the lessons of Christian Science, and he will get the better of that desire and ascend a degree in the scale of health, happiness, and existence. If delusion says, "I have lost my memory," contradict it. No faculty of mind is lost. In science, all being is eternal, spiritual, perfect, harmonious in every action. Let the perfect model be present in your thoughts instead of its demoralized opposite. This spiritualization of thought lets in the light and brings the divine mind, life, not death, into your consciousness. There are many species of insanity. All sin is insanity in different degrees. Sin is spared from this classification only because its method of madness is in consonance with common mortal belief. Every sort of sickness is error, that is, sickness is loss of harmony. This view is not altered by the fact that sin is worse than sickness, and sickness is not acknowledged nor discovered to be error by many who are sick. There is a universal insanity of so-called health, which mistakes fable for fact throughout the entire round of the material senses. But this general craze cannot, in a scientific diagnosis, shield the individual case from the special name of insanity. Those unfortunate people who are committed to insane asylums are only so many distinctly defined instances of the baneful effects of illusion on mortal minds and bodies. The supposition that we can correct insanity by the use of purgatives and narcotics is in itself a mild species of insanity. Can drugs go of their own accord to the brain and destroy the so-called inflammation of disordered functions, thus reaching mortal mind through matter? Drugs do not affect a corpse, and truth does not distribute drugs through the blood and from them derive a supposed effect on intelligence and sentiment. A dislocation of the tarsal joint would produce insanity as perceptibly as would congestion of the brain, were it not that mortal mind thinks that the tarsal joint is less intimately connected with the mind than is the brain. Reverse the belief, and the results would be perceptibly different. The unconscious thought in the corporeal substratum of brain produces no effect, and that condition of the body which we call sensation in matter is unreal. Mortal mind is ignorant of itself, ignorant of the errors it includes and of their effects. Intelligent matter is an impossibility. You may say, but if disease obtains in matter, why do you insist that disease is formed by mortal mind and not by matter? Mortal mind and body combine as one, and the nearer matter approaches its final statement, animate error called nerves, brain, mind, the more prolific it is likely to become in sin and disease beliefs. Unconscious mortal mind, alias matter, brain, cannot dictate terms to consciousness, nor say, I am sick. The belief that the unconscious substratum of mortal mind, termed the body, suffers and reports disease independently of this so-called conscious mind is the error which prevents mortals from knowing how to govern their bodies. The so-called conscious mortal mind is believed to be superior to its unconscious substratum, matter, and the stronger never yields to the weaker, except through fear or choice. The animate should be governed by God alone. The real man is spiritual and immortal, but the mortal and imperfect so-called children of men are counterfeits from the beginning, to be laid aside for the pure reality. This mortal is put off, and the new man or real man is put on in proportion as mortals realize the science of man and seek the true model. We have no right to say that life depends on matter now, but will not depend on it after death. We cannot spend our days here in ignorance of the science of life and expect to find beyond the grave a reward for this ignorance. Death will not make us harmonious and immortal as a recompense for ignorance. If here we give no heed to Christian Science, which is spiritual and eternal, we shall not be ready for spiritual life hereafter. This is life eternal, says Jesus. Is, not shall be. And then he defines everlasting life as a present knowledge of his Father and of himself, the knowledge of love, truth, and life. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. The scriptures say, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, showing that truth is the actual life of man. But mankind objects to making this teaching practical. Every trial of our faith in God makes us stronger. The more difficult seems the material condition to be overcome by spirit, the stronger should be our faith and the purer our love. The Apostle John says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Here is a definite and inspired proclamation of Christian Science. Mental treatment illustrated. the science of mental practice is susceptible of no misuse. Selfishness does not appear in the practice of truth or Christian Science. If mental practice is abused or is used in any way except to promote right thinking and doing, the power to heal mentally will diminish until the practitioner's healing ability is wholly lost. Christian scientific practice begins with Christ's keynote of harmony, "Be not afraid." Said Job, "The thing which I greatly feared is come upon me." My first discovery in the student's practice was this: if the student silently called the disease by name when he argued against it, as a general rule, the body would respond more quickly, just as a person replies more readily when his name is spoken. But this was because the student was not perfectly attuned to divine science and needed the arguments of truth for reminders. If spirit or the power of divine love bear witness to the truth, this is the ultimatum, the scientific way, and the healing is instantaneous. It is recorded that once Jesus asked the name of a disease which moderns would call dementia. The demon or evil replied that his name was Legion. Thereupon Jesus cast out the evil, and the insane man was changed and straightway became whole. The scripture seems to import that Jesus caused the evil to be self-seen and so destroyed. The procuring cause and foundation of all sickness is fear, ignorance, or sin. Disease is always induced by a false sense mentally entertained, not destroyed. Disease is an image of thought externalized. The mental state is called a material state. Whatever is cherished in mortal mind as the physical condition is imaged forth on the body. Always begin your treatment by allaying the fear of patients. Silently reassure them as to their exemption from disease and danger. Watch the result of this simple rule of Christian Science, and you will find that it alleviates the symptoms of every disease. If you succeed in wholly removing the fear, your patient is healed. The great fact that God lovingly governs all, never punishing aught but sin, is your standpoint from which to advance and destroy the human fear of sickness. Mentally and silently plead the case scientifically for truth. You may vary the arguments to meet the peculiar or general symptoms of the case you treat, but be thoroughly persuaded in your own mind concerning the truth which you think or speak, and you will be the victor. You may call the disease by name when you mentally deny it, but by naming it audibly, you are liable under some circumstances to impress it upon the thought. The power of Christian Science and divine love is omnipotent. It is indeed adequate to unclasp the hold and to destroy disease, sin, and death. To prevent disease or to cure it, the power of truth, of divine spirit, must break the dream of the material senses. To heal by argument, find the type of the ailment, get its name, and array your mental plea against the physical. Argue at first mentally, not audibly, that the patient has no disease and conform the argument so as to destroy the evidence of disease. Mentally insist that harmony is the fact and that sickness is a temporal dream. Realize the presence of health and the fact of harmonious being until the body corresponds with the normal conditions of health and harmony. If the case is that of a young child or an infant, it needs to be met mainly through the parent's thought, silently or audibly, on the aforesaid basis of Christian Science. The scientist knows that there can be no hereditary disease, since matter is not intelligent and cannot transmit good or evil intelligence to man, and God, the only mind, does not produce pain in matter. The act of yielding one's thoughts to the undue contemplation of physical wants or conditions induces those very conditions. A single requirement beyond what is necessary to meet the simplest needs of the babe is harmful. Mind regulates the condition of the stomach, bowels, and food, the temperature of children and of men, and matter does not. The wise or unwise views of parents and other persons on these subjects produce good or bad effects on the health of children. The daily ablutions of an infant are no more natural nor necessary than would be the process of taking a fish out of water every day and covering it with dirt in order to make it thrive more vigorously in its own element. Cleanliness is next to godliness, but washing should be only for the purpose of keeping the body clean, and this can be effected without scrubbing the whole surface daily. Water is not the natural habitat of humanity. I insist on bodily cleanliness within and without. I am not patient with a speck of dirt. But in caring for an infant, one need not wash his little body all over each day in order to keep it sweet as the new-blown flower. Giving drugs to infants, noticing every symptom of flatulency, and constantly directing the mind to such signs, that mind being laden with illusions about disease, health laws, and death. These actions convey mental images to children's budding thoughts, and often stamp them there, making it probable at any time that such ills may be reproduced in the very ailments feared. A child may have worms, if you say so, or any other malady, timorously held in the beliefs concerning his body. Thus are laid the foundations of the belief in disease and death, and thus are children educated into discord. The treatment of insanity is especially interesting. However obstinate the case, it yields more readily than do most diseases to the salutary action of truth, which counteracts error. The arguments to be used in curing insanity are the same as in other diseases, namely, the impossibility that matter, brain, can control or derange mind, can suffer or cause suffering. Also the fact that truth and love will establish a healthy state, guide and govern mortal mind or the thought of the patient, and destroy all error, whether it is called dementia, hatred, or any other discord. To fix truth steadfastly in your patient's thoughts, explain Christian Science to them, but not too soon, not until your patients are prepared for the explanation, lest you array the sick against their own interests by troubling and perplexing their thought. The Christian Scientist's argument rests on the Christianly scientific basis of being. The Scripture declares, "The Lord, He is God, good. There is none else beside Him." Even so, harmony is universal and discord is unreal. Christian Science declares that mind is substance, also that matter neither feels, suffers, nor enjoys. Hold these points strongly in view. Keep in mind the verity of being, that man is the image and likeness of God, in whom all being is painless and permanent. Remember that man's perfection is real and unimpeachable, whereas imperfection is blameworthy, unreal, and is not brought about by divine love.